I like that song, "The World Didn't Give It, and It Can't Take It Away." I was thinking of a verse. I was thinking of a verse in the Bible where Jesus said, "The prince of this world is coming and hath nothing in me." You know what? I want to live my life that way. Because the devil is going to come by and going to check to see if I have anything that belongs to the world. This song says the world didn't give the things I have on hand, and the world's not going to be able to take them away. I am thankful for that. Today I would like to share with you for a little while something that God has considered very valuable for thousands of years. And he still considers it very valuable to us. Something that the world didn't give and the world can't take away. And to get a picture of this, I would like for us for a little while to, in our mind, move back in time. I would like for us to move back as if we were one of the children of Israel in bondage in Egypt. Been there for hundreds of years, our families have. And we're longing to be free. And now God sends Moses. And you remember the plagues that came on Pharaoh and the Egyptians, one after another. And it looks like they were bad enough that sometimes even Pharaoh would say, "Okay, y'all can go," and then he'd change his mind. The one I'm interested in is the last one. This one is going to make all the difference. They're going to get to go after this one. But this one is one that's going to affect the children of Israel. You know, if you look back at those plagues that happened to the children of Israel, it said there came a time that no longer did those plagues affect the children of Israel. I was just glancing this morning. It said that when flies were put on as a plague to Egypt, Moses told them, "There will be no flies over at the children of Israel's camp." Can you imagine that? How could that happen? It was a separation at the border. A plague of flies at Pharaoh's in the Egyptians' area, but none for the children of Israel. But now we're coming down to the last one. This one is going to affect everybody. And I would like for us to, just in our minds, suppose if we happen to be there going through this last one, and what would we do? I'd like to go to Exodus, the 12th chapter. First thing we're going to have to do is I'm going to have to believe his prophet. You know, God, it says God spoke to him, but it wasn't God that came to the people. It was Moses that came to the people to tell them what God was saying. So, you know, they're going to have to believe a man that comes and says, "Hey, God just told me something." And look at what he's about to tell them that God said to him. This is in Exodus 12 and 7. Those first seven verses is saying, here's something that I want you to do. I want you to take up a lamb, and I want you to feed it over these next few days. Got a certain day that I want you to kill that lamb, and here's what I want you to do with it. In the seventh verse it says, take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the house wherein they shall eat it. What's he saying? You got a house here. I want you to kill a lamb. And I want you to take that blood and I want you to paint your doorpost of that house with that blood. You know, this is Moses saying it. Those folks have a decision to make. They could say they could have just built that house. Maybe that's a brand new house. They could have said, "No way will I do that. They just had problems with flies over in Egypt. And we could have it here. Not going to do it." Well, they got to make a decision. It says in the 12th verse, this is God speaking, "I'm going to pass through the land of Egypt this night, and I'm going to smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt. I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be for you, to you, for a token upon the houses where you are. When I see the blood, I'll pass over. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." In this story right here, he gave them clear instructions what to do. And he also gave them clear instructions the day that this is going to happen. On this day, at this time, you put the blood on the doorpost. I'm going to pass through at midnight, and the firstborn will be killed in every household that does not have the blood on it. So I go on down to the 22nd verse. Moses, and you shall take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the blood that's in the basin, strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that's in the basin. And now he's got one more requirement that he's given them here. And none of you shall go out at the door of his house until morning. In other words, okay, I've given you clear directions. Put the blood on the doorpost, and now do not go outside. You stay behind that protection. That blood is going to be your protection. Stay behind it. Should you at 11 o'clock decide you need to run down to the store and get some bread, don't do it, because I'm coming at midnight. And your protection is if the blood is on the doorpost and you are inside. You know what? This has a big meaning for us today also. As we look at this story, I would like to, for us to realize, you know what? This was a type of where we are today. And the value that God placed on the blood back then, he places that same value on the blood today. So it says, 23rd verse, the Lord's going to pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the blood and will not suffer the destroyer to come in into your houses to smite you. You know, sometimes I think of the children of Israel back then as being a small group of people. You ever thought about it? Maybe there's about 100 people, maybe 1,000 people. You know, the closest that I get to realize is there could have been over 1 million people of the children of Israel. The only time I ever see a number is when that tells us that there were 600,000 that could fight. And that did not count the women, the children, and the elderly. So it was a huge group of people that this is going to. Every one of your houses, put blood on it. And stay behind that blood, because at midnight I'm going to pass through. And if you don't have blood on yours, it doesn't matter that you're one of the children of Israel. The firstborn in your house will die just like the children of Egypt. And they had a decision to make. They made that decision in the 28th verse. The children of Israel went away and did as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they. That's amazing to me that that huge of a group of people would take the word of the Lord through Moses and say, okay, I heard that commandment, I'm going to follow, thank you. I heard that commandment and I'm taking it serious. I will not take a chance with my life. Folks, that's just where we are today. It hasn't changed. I have a choice I have to make. The blood of Christ is just that valuable today. It must be applied to the doorpost of my heart. Nothing else will matter. And I thought of, this was really even before Moses got the law and gave to the people. This is almost the first time to the children of Israel that they're even hearing about the sacrifice of blood that God is interested in. But I go on over to Leviticus in the first chapter. And now he's starting to give them some instruction. And he's letting them know this thing is going to have to be a free will. It's going to have to be something that you just say, I'm willing to do it. You bring your offering. And it says, offer it in the third verse, offer it of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle. Put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering and it shall be accepted for him to make atonement for him. And they're going to take the blood and they're going to sprinkle it round upon the altar. So I look at this, now it's starting to be given them as a commandment. From then until something else is going to come into place. This is what's going to be acceptable. You bring this of your own free will, but if you're going to bring it, I want the very best. I don't want you to say, if I can hurry and get it there, this thing's about to die anyhow. If I can get it there while it's still breathing, I'll make my sacrifice. No, I'm going to give the very best that I have. It's the only thing that he will accept. So then I go on to another place. I look at 2 Chronicles. Here is a time where an offering is made. 2 Chronicles 7 and 4. This is where Solomon, he is about to dedicate the temple. And it says, the king and the people offered sacrifices before the Lord. And look at the amount of sacrifices that they offered. King Solomon offered a sacrifice of 22,000 oxen, 120,000 sheep. So the king and all the people dedicated to the house of the Lord. This was offerings, blood offerings that was offered to the Lord. Okay, now let's roll back in time. Because you know what God saw back then? This is what will be an atonement for you at this time. But now let's go over to Hebrews in the 10th chapter. Hebrews 10 and 4. It says, it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. And it goes, because it's saying, you know what, if it did, they would never have had to come back the next year and offer sacrifices again. They would have been able to just do it one time, and that would have taken care of it. But instead, each year, they had to go back and offer a sacrifice again. But now something better has come. In this, in the 11th verse, because you know, almost need to compare the old to be able to really appreciate the new. What was required back then and what is required today. This in the 11th verse, every priest standing daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Jesus and the sacrifice that he made. This last time the blood needed to be offered. But you know, I have got to make the same choice that those people made. I'm going to apply that blood. I'm going to have that blood applied to the doorpost of my heart. And I'm going to keep it there. I want to make heaven my home. There are songs that we sing. One of them is, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. It says, nothing can for sin atone. And then another one says, not of good that I have done. It says, this is all my hope and peace, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness, nothing but the blood of Jesus. It says, oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. There is no other fount that I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Today, the blood of Jesus is just as valuable to us. For me to stand before Almighty God, the death angel that's going to come by and check, am I going to make heaven or will I be lost forever? Has the blood of Jesus been applied to my heart? You know, it would have been easy, it seems like back then, because it told me what day he was coming. It told me on the 14th of day of this month, kill the sacrifice. Put the blood on the door, because tonight at midnight he's coming. You know what? If you and I, each one knew today that at midnight tonight, our call is coming up. You will be called out into eternity. And there's only one thing that's going to save you. It's going to be if the blood of Christ has been applied to your heart. You know what? If I knew it was going to be today, oh, I'd make sure there was nothing standing in the way. I am ready. But what if back then the Lord had said, I'm coming one day. The death angel is coming by your houses. I want you to keep a fresh supply of blood, literally, on the doorpost of the houses back in Egypt. Because I'm coming someday. And a year passes. You know what? How easy it is for us. If I knew I was going out into eternity today, I would make sure there was a fresh supply of blood to cover everything in my life. But you know what? We may keep on living another year, 2 years. I don't know the day that he's going to call for me. I must have the blood applied to my heart. And something else that is so, it seems so important to me is the commandment where he said, not only have the blood on the doorpost of your house, but don't go outside. Don't stray away from the protection that that blood is to provide. There's another song that says, not the labor of my hands can fulfill thy law's demands. Could my zeal no respite know? If I decide, I'll tell you what, I am going to do everything I can for the Lord. I want to make heaven my home. Could my zeal no respite know? Could my tears forever flow? These for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. You know what? I need to really keep that in mind because I know it. But after a while, if I'm not careful, I will try to replace it. I can try to replace it with some other things. It says, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. There's another verse in Hebrews 10 and 28. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sorer punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden under foot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and hath done despite unto the grace of God. Now I would say, that's not me. I don't consider his blood to be an unholy thing. But you know, I thought about Paul. He said, those things that were gained to me, I counted them loss when he met up with Christ. Except our righteousness should exceed that of the scribes and the Pharisees, we're not going to be able to make it. My righteousnesses are as filthy rags. My own efforts to be able to make heaven on my own are not enough. What they need to do is they need to be a result of the blood of Christ in my life. Because there's a danger for me. You know, I've been raised up to know this ever since I was a boy. People raised up among a people that have a very careful life that they live. You know what? That alone won't save me in the end. It's going to have to be the blood supplied. Because the devil has a plan for every one of us. His plan for some is to draw them out into the world and that blood not be there on the day that it is needed the most when I go out into eternity. But you know what? He knows some of us, he's wasting our time to draw us out into the world. So he'll try anything he can. You know what? He would love for me to replace the value of the blood for good works. I'm doing the right things. You know what? The right things need to be done as a result of the blood applied to my heart. You know, sometimes I think about at times when I hear messages about our life and the changes that we need to make in it. Bad attitudes. And I say, I tell you what, I'm going to change that. I don't want to change it just because I have the strength to be able to do it on my own. You know what? I want it to be changed because the blood of Christ is there. I want that blood to be applied to my heart. His blood, that blood will work a perfect cure. It'll cleanse the heart, and then it is the thing that keeps it pure. It's not something that I have done. And as I think of the past, I think of how when I try to show the world about salvation, a lot of times my emphasis was on what you do and you don't do. You know what I need to offer is this verse right here. In Zechariah, the 13th chapter and the first verse. In that day, there shall be a fountain opened to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and uncleanness. A fountain open to be able to save me and to keep me. There's another verse in 1 Peter. First Peter 1. Forasmuch, 1 and 18. Forasmuch as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but here's what redeemed us, 19th verse, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. I want to always remember this is what saves me. The blood of Christ, that death that he died 2,000 years ago, the blood still has the power that is needed to save me in a wicked world and to keep me saved in a wicked world. There's still the power there. In 1 John, in the first chapter, it's letting us know again about the power that is in this blood. 1 John 1 and 7. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And then my dedication is what saves me? No. The blood of Jesus Christ, his son, is what cleanseth us from all sin. I need to always remember it's the power in the blood that saves me and also that keeps me. We sing a song, would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood. Would you live daily his praises to sing? Now we're moving past the day I got saved. Now it is every day of my life. Would you live daily his praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. I'd like to look at another verse in John, the 10th chapter. And the first verse, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. Then in the 9th verse, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. To me, I want to be able to realize, you know what? It's Christ that's going to save me. Because I was thinking about the story, you have probably read it, Pilgrim's Progress, and Christian on his journey to the celestial city, and every one of us have a desire to make heaven our home also. But as I was looking at that story, remember where Christian entered in at the gate, but he also goes to the cross and his burden goes away. And he receives a certificate that he is to turn in when he reaches the celestial city. To me, as I looked at that, I think about Moses when they're saying, put that blood on your doorpost. That's what's going to save you at midnight. I got to see the blood. That certificate was, he came by the cross. The blood has been applied. Got a certificate that he'd turn in at the end. You remember as he was going along, he came to an arbor and he fell asleep. And when he did, he didn't realize it, but he dropped that certificate. When he woke up, he took off running. I've got to make up time. And he realized, wait a minute, no need to keep on running. I got to back up. Because when I get to the celestial city, there is a certificate I've got to turn in, and I've dropped it somewhere along the way. You know what? There's a certificate that you and I are going to have to turn in when I breathe my last breath, that the blood of Christ has been applied to my heart. At any time I fail of that, I want to go back, get the blood of Christ applied to my heart, because that's the thing that is going to be important whenever I stand before the Lord at the end. Without that certificate, we won't be accepted in the end. You remember as the story continued, there was a man named Ignorance climbed over the wall and started traveling with them. And they asked him, said, you didn't come in by the gate. He said, no. He said, this is an easier way to go. And they said, but what about your certificate? You're going to need it to turn it in at the end. He said, no. He said, I tell you, in my heart, I feel like I'm going to make it. When I think on going to heaven, it makes me happy. Just pleasant thoughts. I believe I'm going to make it. I'm going to travel on without it. Do you remember when Christian reached the river of death? It said there was a struggle for him to cross over. It was like thoughts were coming to his mind of all the times that he had failed in the past, even though he had repented of those and they had been corrected. And you're not going to make it. It was a struggle. But he realized, you know what? The blood of Christ is what's going to help me to make it. And he made it over. You remember Psalm 73? Surely God is good to Israel. Truly he's good to Israel. To those who be of a clean heart. But it said, as for me, my feet just almost slipped. Because I looked around and the wicked seemed to be prospering. There's not even any bands in their death. And as I read that chapter, it made me think of this with Pilgrim's Progress. Because it says he went on, a Christian got across with much difficulty. But ignorance crossed that river of death with no trouble at all. Said, in fact, there was a boat to take him across. He had no trouble. But you know what? We're not through the celestial gate yet. And it said when Christian went up and they said, you got your certificate, and he handed it over and the gates opened wide. Folks, I want to tell you, I really want that to happen when I come to the end of my life. And then along comes ignorance and stands at the gate. He's made it through life with a hope of making heaven his home. And now he stands at the gate wanting to be admitted also. And they ask him the same question. You have that certificate? There was nothing that could be said. And it said, right at the gates of the celestial city, I realized that there was a door also to hell. Right at my hope of making heaven, but the blood of Christ has not been applied, and I'm lost in the end. Or that it was applied one day back there, but I did not keep it maintained on the doorpost of my heart, a fresh supply to carry me through. There was Brother Ostis Wilson's father. You know, there were old-time ministers that traveled for miles and miles. If they had kept record, they could tell how many people got saved and how many meetings they held and how many sermons they preached. And you would kind of think, well, okay, when you come up to die, you could surely tell the Lord, okay, Lord, let me give you my list. I ought to be able to enter. And I remember them asking him the question, Dad, how does it look out ahead? He's just about to cross. What you gonna, you know, how does it look for your crossing? Did he come back and say, oh yeah, I've already counted it up. I'm gonna tell God about the 1,000 meetings that I held and the many people that got saved. Here's what he had to say. Only by the shed blood of Christ will I make it. You know what? It's only by the shed blood of Christ that any of us are going to make it. But it was shed, and it's got power in that blood today to keep me. It's got power to save me. No matter how wicked the world gets out in the future, there's still power in the blood. And my prayer for myself is, Lord, I don't want to meet you in the end with anything that hasn't passed through the blood. That your approval has not been stamped on. Because the scripture tells them, without me, you can do nothing. Nothing that really has a value to it. But I want to tell you, the power that is in the blood, if we will avail ourselves of it, will take us through any difficulty. Because I find the ones that, the places where I have a big struggle today is when I'm trying to do it on my own. Just troubles that come into my life. I don't know about you, but it's easy for me to put troubles in categories. Here's some I can take care of. Here's some I wouldn't even start to try to take care of. Some of them are so big, I just immediately don't try to take care of it. I just go straight to the Lord. But you know, really, I'm finding out more and more that these other ones that I thought I could take care of, I ought to have done the same thing with it. Because every once in a while, just the easy ones, I find that they fall apart on me, and I end up taking it to the Lord anyhow. You know the song that says, Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. You know what? That's literal. If I could just realize the next step I take, the next breath I breathe will be because God provided it. Then I start realizing, wow, Lord, I'm dependent upon you. But more, I look at the comparison of what they had in the Old Testament. The sacrifices every year I come back and make a sacrifice, and that was what was acceptable for the sins that had been committed that year. But next year, I've got to come back again. We're living in a time where the religious world says we still have to do the same thing. The blood of Christ is about the same as that of the blood of the bulls and goats. I'm going to apply the blood, but tomorrow I'm going to have to go back and apply it again. I'm going to have to go back continually because I continually sin. Must I suppose I'm right today, tomorrow think I've gone astray? Let demons hold me in dismay. The blood of Jesus cleanseth. I am so thankful for the power that's in the blood, not just to keep me from sin, but to give me the strength to live a victorious life every day of the year. I have a song that I'd like to sing. Cheryl, if you'd come up and sing it with me. If you know it, I'd like for you to sing it with us. Because you know what? This is not just for us one day that we go and get saved. But it is about that daily walk with the Lord and Him saying, I tell you what, my blood has the power, if you'll let it be applied to this situation, to carry you through. I have a source of strength when I am weak, that takes me through when life is pressing me. I have a source of power from above. I'm covered over by a shield of love. I claim the blood Jesus shed on Calvary. Those precious bloodstains were made there just for me. For all my sorrow, my sickness and my pain, I need healing. I claim those precious bloodstains. I do not know how others make it through, who never go to Calvary as I do. For there the healing cleansing stream still flows, with peace that only His redeemed can know. I claim the blood Jesus shed on Calvary. Those precious bloodstains were made there just for me. For all my sorrow, my sickness and my pain, when I need healing, I claim those precious bloodstains. So you know, the blood of Christ was intended to only begin with us in our life when we apply it to our heart for salvation. But His desire is that I get me a fresh supply every day. Whatever trouble comes into my life, that I go back and say, Lord, You died to give me power for this. Lord, I've got this sickness. By Your stripes, we're healed. I can come to You and plead Your blood. There is one song that I'd like for us to finish with. It's number 127. Because there's power in the blood of Christ. At any time when Satan comes into your life and says you're done for, you're not going to be able to make it, start looking up some verses on what the blood of Christ is able to do. This one says, must I in sinful bondage be deprived of peace and liberty, when in the promise I can see that the blood of Jesus cleanseth? Must I by Satan be accused and with his galling yoke abused, until at length from heaven refused? Nah, the blood of Jesus cleanseth. Must I be under guilt and sin? You know what? There are so many in the Christian world today that says, I'm a Christian, but I cannot live free from sin. Folks, the blood of Christ will do better than that. It will cleanse the heart. The chorus of that says, the blood, the precious blood of Jesus. The blood will work a perfect cure. Not only will it cleanse the heart, but it also is intended to keep it pure. If we're not careful, we'll say, okay, the blood is what saved me at the beginning, and now I've got to do it from here on out. Mm-mm. Let the blood be what takes me all the way to the end, and I'll still have it applied on the doorpost of my heart when that death angel passes by me and says, I see the blood. You'll make it. The blood will work a perfect cure. It's going to cleanse the heart, and then it's going to keep it pure. The blood, the precious blood of Jesus. I don't know what things may come into your life over the next weeks or next year. We see a lot of wickedness abounding in our world today. But you know what? The blood of Christ will keep us pure right through the middle of it. But I've got to go back to that source. I can't do it on my own. Without me, ye can do nothing. But then Paul took a look at it and he realized where it really was. And he says, but I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. All of us can do that and make heaven our home. I desire your prayers.